God bless you all. It's so good to be with you again. It's our joy as we happen to be near the area here to be able to come and worship with you all this morning. And I just always love the chance to share the Word of God. My name is Doug McNutt. I'm an ordained pastor in the PCA and, as David said, president of Trinity Center for World Mission. I'm also the janitor there as well. And the accountant as well, and no, we have a staff of about five here, and there's a headquarters in Georgia, and then we work in five countries in Africa with seven teaching sites. Starting Reformed seminaries in Africa is our main goal for our mission. That's our main work. I just returned a few weeks ago from Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi. It was a bit of a whirlwind trip, but by the grace of God, we're seeing a lot of progress there. Seminaries being planted that are giving pastors in Africa a great reformed education, that are being sent forth as church planters and missionaries themselves to other African nations and to new places, and Christian teachers, other ministry leaders. So you can read more about that ministry in our newsletter. There is a sign-up sheet in the back and a new little flyer that we have as well. Back there, you can grab one. After the service, quickly, of course, just make sure you beat the Baptist to lunch as you're going out. I was laughing a little bit with my wife. This is my wife, Kelly, by the way. I hope you get a chance to meet her. She's much more joyous to be around than I am. But I was laughing with her because I was thinking back to the last time. I believe it was the last time or maybe a few times ago of preaching at this church. And I had been at another location speaking, and I realized that on a Sunday morning when I woke up here that I had left my suit in the closet at that other location, which was several hours away from here. So here it was Sunday morning. I was supposed to preach in this pulpit, and no suit to be seen anywhere. And I don't think anyone's ever preached in this pulpit without a suit before. I might be wrong about that, but I knew it was not going to be acceptable. So the next best option was to try and go to a Walmart on Sunday morning to try to buy a suit from Walmart, or at least a suit jacket or something like that. I showed up at the local one here, and they then informed me that as I was trying to check out with those items that you couldn't purchase those items before 12 p.m. Had something to do with the blue law or something like that on a Sunday morning. They said, you could buy food, but you can't buy suit clothes items. I said, ma'am, I don't need food. I really need a suit because I got to go to this church down the road here and preach. And she said, I'm sorry. She said, but what you can do is you can drive across the county line over here and you can buy things before 12 p.m. at that Walmart over there. So we then proceeded to drive over the county line to be able to buy my suit items on a Sunday morning. And I made it to the church about 10 minutes after the worship service had started. And I was the preacher for the day, and of course, my Nana, Miss Miriam, was sitting there, and you know, my wife told me she was about to have a brain aneurysm at that point. And of course, I could see Granddaddy Dr. Reed sitting there, and you know, a bead of sweat on his brow as he was thinking, you know, my grandson who's supposed to preach, what sermon am I going to preach instead? But by the grace of God, made it, and of course, it's always just a joy to be with you. I love you all. And I apologize for kind of being quick in and out today. If I don't get to see you and shake your hand, it's great to be with you again. And we really do love you all as a congregation. Thank you so much for your support and your prayers over the years for us and our ministry, our missions work of church planting in Utah, and now working in Africa to start seminary. So thank you, and God bless each and every one of you. It's just a joy to be with you today. I want to share with you something this morning that has really transformed my life. And I shared this principle with a friend of mine about 6 months ago. And just a few weeks ago, he called me up and he said, Doug, that thing you shared with me has really changed my life. It's really had a positive impact on me. And we were praising God for that together, because both in my own life and in his life, this dear friend of mine, we had seen God doing something through this principle, through this practice, if you will. And I'm going to share that with you this morning. Is that okay if I share that with you? I hope that you can receive that this morning as well. And it's a beautiful, beautiful practice or principle, you might say, that comes from Psalm 119, 164. Psalm 119, 164. This is what it says. The psalmist there says, "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules." Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. The psalmist finds himself praising God, lifting up his heart in praise for, often in Psalm 119, especially when it talks about the rules or the precepts, it's really referring to not just the law of God, certainly that, but really the whole of the Word of God, including the gospel. He's praising God for the Word. He's praising God for His principles. He's simply lifting up his heart in prayer and praise to God seven times a day. It's one of the verses that the early monasteries took and began to use in their set times of prayer. And many Christians throughout history have begun to adopt that practice. But we're going to dive into that this morning. Let me open with a word of prayer. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come now and open to us the truths of Psalm 119, 164. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. And you would transform our lives through this word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, we're given a beautiful example here from the psalmist's life of the practice of this means of grace of prayer. It's a practice of the means of grace of prayer. We can talk about, when you're looking at scriptures, you can talk about precepts, principles, and practices. Precepts are like a law. So the law, in a sense, the scripture in many places commands us, pray, right? That's a admonition from scripture. That is a universal precept, right? Then there might be principles, right? Which are universal principles, although they might have different outworkings. An example of a universal principle would be pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That's a principle of life. Now what we have here is actually a practice. It's a practice. It's not sort of a law for you, but it's a practice that you may implement, that you saw someone from Scripture implementing and using. And the practice itself teaches us certain things, but it also may be implemented directly in the reader's life to great benefit. And that's actually something that I want to challenge you with this morning, this beautiful practice, not a precept, but a practice of praying seven times a day. Prayer and praise, praising God seven times throughout your day. What an interesting concept, right? We know in the Old Testament that Daniel prayed three times a day, right? We can see from the life of John Calvin, he had a certain section of his writings where he recommends praying five times a day. And he also said this about prayer. This is John Calvin. He says, "Unless we fix certain hours in the day for prayer, it easily slips from our memory." It easily slips from our memory. Isn't that true? It's sort of like if you don't plan on doing something, you're not going to do it. That is definitely true when it comes to prayer, right? Unless we have a very serious plan about how we're going to spend our day praying or we're going to have that, it's not going to happen. Your life is probably as busy as mine. Your day is as full as mine is from start to finish. You know, if you're a mom with young children or you are at work, and then even when you get home, you have those work things that you're thinking about, it can steal all the time away from communion with God, right? Communion with God. And so the psalmist says seven times a day. That was his practice. It was a beautiful practice. The number seven is somewhat symbolic in Scripture. I don't give too much credence to numbers in Scripture, but this one is pretty solid. The number seven is a number of the divine. It's also a number of infinity. For example, when Jesus says to his disciples in response to the question, "How many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me?" He says, "Forgive them seven times, 70 times a day." Seven times, 70 times. That's a lot, right? That's how many times you should forgive your brother who sins against you in a day. In other words, an infinite number of times. An infinite, just like God forgave you all the plethora of sins in your life, you also should forgive others. So it's a number of kind of the infinite, as it were. And I think this is an allusion in some ways from the psalmist to saying, actually not just seven times a day, but actually prayer without ceasing is the ultimate goal. Prayer without ceasing. Filling your day so full of prayer and praise that actually it just sort of becomes this continuous practice in your life, right? A continuous practice. You might think about, I want you to visualize right now, the Golden Gate Bridge. Can you have a view in your mind of the Golden Gate Bridge like that stretching across the San Francisco Bay? And what you notice about it are that there are those pillars that uphold that bridge, right? Here's the bridge, and now you have the pillars. And that's how I think set times of prayer are for us. You have these set times of prayer that are sort of upholding the praying without ceasing. The continuous communion with God is the idea. And so they actually, just like Calvin said, they help us unless it easily slips away from our minds to have that times of prayer, which also lead into praying without ceasing. Now you might say this morning, wait, Pastor Doug, I get what you're saying. That sounds really great. I mean, that'd probably be wonderful to pray seven times a day, to praise God seven times throughout my busy day. Here's the problem. I don't desire to pray and to praise seven times a day. That's, you know, if I'm honest with you this morning, that's the core problem right now, this morning. I don't even have, you know, let alone the difficulties of actually doing that if I wanted to do it. The real problem is, I don't even want to do that. Because I don't have that kind of desire for God right now in my life. And you're correct in diagnosing the problem. Many of the problems behind the problems come out, right? That is the heart of the problem, that's true, not desiring God. But I'm not going to bring down the hammer on you this morning. But instead, how should I convince you? How should I convince you to desire God in this way, to long to praise Him, to desire, to pray? How can I convince you this morning? Well, let me think. Number one, Jesus loved you to death. Jesus loved you to death. He went to the cross and He died so that He could be with you for eternity. Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again. Why did He do all that? Was it just an assignment from His Father that He was intellectually and physically fulfilling? No, He did that because He wanted to be with you. He loved you, and He desires to be with you for eternity. More so, He desires to be with you even right now in your life, throughout your life. He longs to spend time with you. What a sad thing to think that God, the infinite and holy God, would actually want to spend time with you more than you want to spend time with Him. We're sinful. We're lowly beings. We should count it a privilege that we could spend time with God, that He's actually available to us, right? That He has opened the way, the access to have that sweet communion with Him. And yet we're too busy for Him. Maybe we're caught in sin and we're like Adam and Eve in the garden and we're hiding from God. We're hiding from God. I remember before I was converted in my early teenage years, every night when I was really living in sin and apart from God, that when I would lay my head on my pillow at night, I would have a sense that God was there. I had a sense that He loved me and that He wanted me to repent. But it's like I would almost physically turn my head on my pillow like this and try to just shut Him out. Even though I knew that He was there and I knew that he was real. And maybe even in the Christian life, sometimes that's how we can be. We can try to just shut him out, just do our own thing for a while over here. I don't want to have that kind of close communion with God. I know it would mean I'd have to give up more sin. I knew it would have to be a more spiritually oriented life versus the things I want to do. Or we know that there is a cost to that closeness with God. It's a cost to our sin. It's a cost to our flesh. And sometimes we're just honest when we say, that's my core problem. I don't desire it. I don't desire to praise God 7 times a day. I mean, once on Sunday is good, but you know, maybe once a day throughout the week, but 7 times a day. Do I even desire that? Jesus loved you to death. That's the first. That's the first thing that can help you, is to remember the love of Christ for you, that he went to the cross because he wanted to be with you. The second thing that helps you is a Puritan principle, and they would write about this frequently when you read the Puritan writings. And I'll paraphrase it like this. They would talk about it like this. They would say, you pray until you pray. You pray until you pray. Now, what did they mean by that? You pray until... What they meant by that, I'll just break it down. They meant even when you don't feel like it, you know, and you get out your Bible and you start praying anyway, when you seek God like that, even when you're not feeling it, 9 times out of 10, and if it's not, there's something else God's doing maybe, but 9 times out of 10, you begin to feel it. All of a sudden, after seemingly going through the motions, something begins to happen. Like God begins to do something new in your life. He begins to work afresh. And all of a sudden, there's a spark there where there was just smoke before. There's a spark that comes, right? You pray until you pray. It's an interesting principle, which actually applies to other areas of our devotion to God as well. You know, you sing until you sing. You know, maybe you started singing the first verse on the hymn. You don't particularly care for that hymn. You didn't know what it was saying. You weren't feeling it, but then it begins to come on. The truth of that hymn begins to hit you. And the emotion of that, the experience of what it's saying begins to hit you, and you get lifted up, right? And you sing until you sing. You preach until you preach. Every pastor knows what I'm talking about with this. You can preach, but then there's preaching. You can just be talking at people, but then the Holy Spirit opens something up. You preach until you preach. You sing until you sing. You pray until you pray. So even in taking a practice and just beginning to lean into it, just beginning to say, you know what? I'm just going to try this. I'm going to sit down with my open Bible here for an hour this morning. I'm going to take this Saturday night to go on a walk up my street in the dark and just pray, to seek God and see what happens. I'm gonna take a little notebook. This is what I began to do. I began to take a little notebook and I would write the date at the top of each day. And I'll write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And each time of praise or reading or worship music, anything, any time of prayer or praise, I would just write it down like that. Start recording that out. And there was something really powerful about writing it down. Experts in leadership say the difference between a goal that is spoken or written is about 50% in favor of the written over the spoken. There's something really powerful, in other words, about writing something down and even flipping back and seeing, you know, the history of, wow, you know, seeking God. Now I'm trying to do it tomorrow, too. There's something really powerful about writing it down. And I'll give you that challenge at the end to create a note on your phone or to have a little notebook with you and start writing down, you know, 1 through 7, and praying and praising God throughout your day, 7 times a day. There's something that God wants to do. So you pray until you pray. Even if you're not feeling that desire this morning, maybe this is the spark that God's trying to communicate to you. Maybe God, I assure you, God wants to have a deeper, closer walk with you this morning. You. He does. He cares about you. You might be feeling overwhelmed in financial problems. You might be dealing with physical difficulties that steal your ease and your peace away. You might be dealing with children, maybe they're young children or maybe they're wayward children. You might be dealing with feeling trapped in sin. You might be feeling a sense of depression. Wherever you're coming from, God is speaking to you this morning, and He's saying to you, I desire to have a closer walk with you. You know the hymn, Just a Closer Walk with Thee? Well, God is saying to you, I want to have a closer walk with you. And He does this morning. I think that's why He's sharing this practice with you from Psalm 119. Seven times a day, I praise you. Seven times a day, I praise you. So I think those principles will help you. I'm going to give you a challenge this morning. Are you ready to accept the challenge? You can say yes or no, either way. You know, I just got back from Africa, you know, so I have to get some amens and, you know, I have to get people to, you know. I know we're Presbyterian, but, you know. The Lord is, someone once told me, you know, if you're in a Presbyterian meeting, you know, someone saying amen is sort of the equivalent of, in a Pentecostal meeting, someone falling on the floor. You know what I mean? So if I get one amen, that means we're having a successful meeting here, right? Here's the challenge I'm going to give you this morning. 7 days. Next 7 days. Create a note on your phone. Get a little notebook. Write the date at the top of each day, write 1 through 7. And seek to pray and praise God 7 times a day. It might just be 30 seconds. It might be 5 minutes. It might be 15 minutes. It doesn't matter what each time is. It might be a time of just pure praise. It might be a time of praying and crying out to God with a prayer request. It might be a time of listening to worship music and praising God through music. It might be a time of reading scriptures or reading a devotional book. It might be a time of praying with others. I'm going to give you the challenge this morning for the next 7 days. I want you just to try it, even if you're very skeptical of it. I mean, you've never done this kind of thing before. Over the next 7 days, to seek to pray and praise 7 times a day and write it down. Write it down. And then see what happens. See what happens. Email me at the end of the week. I'll give you an example of what I try to use on my normal days. Number one, reading when I wake up, just scriptures and prayers. Number two, going for a prayer walk. These are kind of serve as examples of different kinds of things you can do as well. Number three, worship music and prayers as I get dressed and ready for the day. Number four, prayer on my drive to work. Number five, prayer on my drive home from work. Number six, family devotions. And then number seven, prayer with my wife before we go to bed. Now, I fail many, many times at this, but I noticed something very interesting. And my friend, who I shared this with, and he said it changed his life, interestingly shared the same thing back to me that I noticed. We both said the same thing. We said, but you know what? Even though we fail so often, and we don't get 7 times a day or whatever, we said we noticed the same thing. Even on the bad days, we still get 3 or 4 times. And that's better than the 1 or the 0 that was there before. It was a very interesting thing. We still get 3 or 4. But you know, on the really good days where I got to 7, I also saw a very interesting thing begin to happen. When I would get to 7, oftentimes I would go on 8, 9, 10. And the whole day actually began to look like prayer without ceasing. You begin to just steal back all those little moments. Instead of the radio, I would just have prayer. Or instead of whatever, you know, time on the phone or social media, I would begin to just praise and prayer. It was like, it's like God was taking back over the mind and the heart again. And that prayer without ceasing that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 began to become a reality. So I'm going to give you that challenge. I hope that you do accept it, and that you're blessed because of that. I hope that your prayer life takes a little step forward according to the psalmist. 7 times a day, I praise you for your righteous rules, that you can take this godly practice that many saints have used in the past and that others, myself included, have been blessed by, and that you begin to slip in to that prayer without ceasing. Because Jesus loves you, he wanted to be with you, because he sent you his Holy Spirit to walk with you each day and to bring you back into his presence, that's the goal that he has for you. And I hope that's a goal and a challenge that you can take for yourself this morning and begin to apply in your life. 7 times a day, I praise you. 7 times a day, I praise you. And send me an email at the end of the week if you're able to try it out and you found something out. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the joy, Lord, of being able to serve you in ministry and here at church and every day at work and at home with our families. In many different ways, Lord, we can walk with you and serve you and praise you and pray and seek your face throughout our days, Lord. I pray that we would first and foremost receive your love, even in our sin, even in our sorrow, even in our weakness. We would take our eyes off of ourselves and we would look to you, Lord. And we would look to you for hope, the joy of the gospel. Because of the shed blood of Christ, we can have this intimacy, this closeness with God, this joy throughout the day. Even in a busy day, we can insert God in prayer into each aspect of it and lift up our hearts and praise you. We can sing with joy. We can praise. We can share the gospel with others. We can enjoy going to church instead of it being a burden and a drag, because we're finding you, Lord, not just the practices of religion, but we're finding a true and intimate relationship with you, Lord. I pray that would be true for each person here. And if there's anyone here that has never found that first taste of that first real taste of the Holy Spirit and of a close walk with Jesus Christ, I pray that they would not leave this building before they repent of sin and place their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and come for the first time into that relationship this morning. And perhaps there are other saints here, Lord, who have walked with you for many, many years, and it's a temptation to all of us who have to lose our first love. And I pray that you would bring them back this morning into that closeness with you through prayer and praise 7 times a day. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.